step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Oh, hi, everybody. This is a Jeff Townsend Media Production.
Have you been searching for a podcast? Do you want to learn from some great content creators? Well, you've come to the right place. Indie Podcaster, with your host, Jeff Townsend, the Indie Podcast Father.
This is Jeff Townsend, and as you're aware, Indie Podcaster is currently on a break. I'm actually tied up with a job in the podcast industry and then a lot of other projects that I'm working on. But I want to continue to give you some content that you may find helpful along your podcasting journey. With that being said, I'm going to share some episodes of Good Morning Podcasters. Yes, that's right. The return of Good Morning Podcasters. Fuzz Martin and I purchased the rights to that, and podcasting sucks. So today, I'll be sharing some episodes of Fuzz Martin's Good Morning Podcasters with you. This is great information. You could learn a lot from it. To learn more, go to goodmorningpodcasters.com. Let's check out some of these episodes. I'm playing them back to back.
Good morning, podcasters.
Good morning, podcasters. It's me, Fuzz Martin. Thank you for joining me on the second week and fifth episode of the all-new GMP. Today, we're going to talk about host-read ads and how you can make them better for your audience in a number of different ways. For this episode, we're going to be reaching into my current ad agency experience, as well as my former radio personality and program director experience, to put them both together to talk about what we should and shouldn't do when it comes to host-read ads. Back in September, Brian Barletta of Sounds Profitable released some information from a research study they did with host-read live, host-read scripted, and announcer-read podcast ads. And I will link to that article in the show notes. Sounds Profitable's study showed that spots either ad-libbed or read off a script by the announcer performed better overall, hands down, than spots that were produced and sent in from a third-party announcer. And that's great. Again, totally expected. What was also unsurprising to me was that while ad-lib spots ranked highest in the listener's overall appeal of the spot, the fit of the show, unaided recall of the spot, the scripted host-read ads, so the scripted versions of that, did best with interest in learning more, the audience's likelihood to purchase, and likelihood to learn more about that product. In other words, listeners said that while they liked the long, drawn-out, ad-libbed spots the most, they were more likely to act when the host stayed focused and on script. So let's talk about why. Podcast hosts, that's you, tend to spend way too much time when it comes to ad-lib sponsored ads. Most of you are completely giving away the farm. We used to run into this all the time in radio, where a host would get a sheet with bullet points on it, and it would say 60-second live read for, you know, name a car dealer. And they would go on for sometimes 2 minutes and 30 seconds, and they didn't need to. The advertiser paid for 60 seconds. And that's why now that I'm in advertising, I love to have my clients buy host-read radio and podcast ads, because I know that they're going to get way more value and the price is exactly the same as if we paid for a exactly 30 or 60-second announcer-read ad. if you are set a set of bullet points with an expectation of 60 to 90 seconds, but you go on and on for 3 minutes, you're wasting your time. You're giving your advertisers way more than they need, and you're potentially doing both a disservice. Unless it's completely hilarious, your listeners do not want to hear a 3-minute ad. We're in an era where people watch 45-second TikTok videos and Gen Z kids can't listen to a song that is more than a minute and 50 seconds. So a 3-minute ad is way too long. If you're getting paid for 60 seconds, give your sponsor a good 60 seconds with a tight call to action. And that gets us to my second piece of advice. Scripted ads are good because they have a clear call to action and it gives the host a solid beginning, middle, and end. But sometimes they can be boring, which is why respondents to Sounds Profitable's research study said that they thought that the ad-lib version sounded best. So I recommend hybrid. Allow yourself a brief ad-libbed intro, again, brief, and then write the rest of the spot in your own voice using the supplied bullet points. Make it your own, but don't make it a novel. Give your sponsor the time they purchased and give your audience what they want to hear without wasting their time. You can get the best of both worlds pretty easily, and both you and your sponsor and your audience all win. On top of all of that, your sponsor is more likely to reward you based on your audience's intent to purchase rather than brand awareness or recall. You can quantify the former. The latter can be attributed to the advertiser sponsoring a whole bunch of different shows. And they're not going to buy more spots because you go over on your spots every time. They're going to buy more spots because when they advertise on your show, people interact and buy stuff from them. Remember that. So to recap, podcast ads perform better when you as the podcaster are saying them, but don't fall into the trap of giving your sponsors more time than they paid for. My name is Fuzz Martin, and I am the new host of Good Morning Podcasters. You can find the show on Twitter at GM Podcasters. Website should be coming this week, I hope. Just waiting on the domain from Tanner. New episodes 2 or more times a week with an episode of Podcasting Sucks with Jeff Townsend every Saturday morning. I do appreciate you listening, and I will talk to you tomorrow right here on Good Morning Podcasters. Good morning, podcasters. Today, we're talking about press releases. Hello, good morning, guten tag. Good morning, podcasters. This is a short, semi-weekly podcast about podcasting. My name is Fuzz Martin. I am a partner and the chief strategy officer at Epic Creative near Milwaukee. And being a chief strategy officer means that I help clients build their best marketing and advertising strategies to meet the audiences that they're trying to reach. I oversee our account management team, our social media team, our media buying and planning team, content, SEO, and public relations teams. We've got 85 employees. There's a lot to oversee. I tell you all that for a reason. And today that reason is because we're talking about press releases. This will be a bit of a level 101 course on press releases. However, from my experience, a lot of people are interested in knowing about what a press release is and when they should send one. So I thought I'd break it down a bit for you. Just to give us a little starter, let's talk about what a press release actually is. Okay? A press release is a very, very formulaic letter that is designed to announce something newsworthy to the media. This could be a new partnership, a big milestone. Let's say your podcast got picked up by a big network or something. It could be to announce a very famous guest that you're having on the show. It could be a rebuttal to something horrible you said on your show or your Twitter account, or even the announcement of a new season of your show. Press releases are sent to news editors, reporters, producers, other podcasters, bloggers, etc., usually via email, sometimes attached as a Word doc, sometimes, unfortunately, attached as a PDF file. Don't do that. I don't recommend you do that because it makes it hard for the reporter to copy and paste that into whatever CMS they're using to file their news. Sometimes people post press releases as screenshots in their Twitter feeds. Sometimes they get faxed. Sometimes people spend 60 cents on a stamp and mail it. But I recommend sending all of your press releases as a text email, perhaps with an image or two, and links, definitely links to the high-res version of the images that you would like to appear next to your news story when a journalist picks up your press release. So now let's have a quick conversation about what a press release is not. And this is very important. A press release is not an ad. I will repeat that. A press release is not an ad. If you want a publication to run an ad for you, buy an ad. A press release is something newsworthy. It's got to be something that this publication, whether it's a website, whether it's a magazine, whether it's a podcast that talks about news about podcasting, the news that you send them has to be something that their audience would like to listen to and not something that would be considered an advertisement. And yes, sometimes those lines blur a bit, but be a good citizen and in the end, you'll be fine. Where do you send press releases to? I mentioned some of the job titles of who you send press releases to earlier. So that would be, again, reporters, editors, publishers, assignment desk editors, producers, hosts of different podcasts that don't necessarily have a producer. But let's talk about where or to which outlets you should be sending your press release. What you want to do is find the publications that will find your piece of news newsworthy to their audience. So if you have a podcast about, let's say, comic books, you probably already know the websites that write about comic books. You probably even listen to some podcasts about comic books. You may even get a paper magazine about comic books, since usually comic books are still printed on paper and you like to stay true to your cause. And that's great. Find the editors, producers, reporters, etc., who will write specifically about what your news is about and start a list. You may be able to reach out to an agency or PR freelancer and ask them to build you a list for a fee if you don't feel like doing the work organically or with tried and true Google sleuthing. So once you have your press release written and it's been proofread, you take that list that you've developed and you blind carbon copy it to all the people on the list. Now, let's quick talk about who you should not put on the list. Number one, I recommend not aiming unfathomably high. This isn't the Air Force. Sending a press release about your comic book podcast reaching its 1,000th listen isn't going to make it into the New York Times. Think about who will find your news interesting in your audience and send that to them only. This is a tight, curated list. You don't want to be spam. Also, be sure to include your contact information in your email and on your press release. Make it very easy for someone to get in touch with you. And this is very important. When an editor, producer, or reporter does reach out to you, get back to them as soon as you are possibly able. Your window of opportunity is very short, writers are overworked, and you want to have them do you a favor, so you need to be there for them when they get in touch with you. So to recap, your press release should be newsworthy. Your press release is not an ad. Send it as a text email with a photo and link to the high-res version of the photo. Send it to news outlets and shows that typically carry the kind of content and news that you are sending to them, specifically in your niche. Don't bother sending it to the Washington Post or New York Times unless your story is truly newsworthy to them. Always include your contact info and respond quickly to requests from the people to whom you sent your release. And one last one. Use press releases like salt. You don't want to be the boy who cried news by sending something every other week to an overburdened editor. We're getting dangerously close on getting the website up and running. I will create a sample press release for you that you can download and use as a template soon. And I will let you know on this show and on the Twitter page once that's live, and you will be able to look at a sample press release. And I will give you a written version of this podcast so you can use some of the steps when you're creating your public relations lists and sending out that really important news to editors in your niche. And that'll do it for today's episode of Good Morning Podcasters. If you have a question for the show, you can reach out by going to podinbox.com/GMP. That is podinbox.com/GMP. If you'd rather not leave an audio message, my DMs are always open on Twitter for as long as Twitter hasn't burned down. You can reach me at GM Podcasters or at Fuzz Martin. So again, at GM Podcasters or at Fuzz Martin. And we will talk to you tomorrow morning right here on Good Morning Podcasters.
Wakey, wakey, eggs and bakey.
Good morning, podcasters. It's a me, Fuzz Martin. Thank you for coming on to my semi-weekly show about marketing, advertising, and public relations tips for content creators like you. I hope you'll subscribe to the show and join me as you walk the dog, drive to the gym, work out, make your coffee, take a shower, or, you know, whatever fits into your schedule. Today, we're talking about lining up guests for your show. There is nothing more annoying than trying to get two calendars in order so you can meet with somebody that has a schedule that's equally as busy as yours, right?
Does Friday at 2 work?
No, does Monday at 8 work?
I can make 9:45 work.
Hang on, let me get back to you.
The good news is there are a number of calendar programs out there that make this a lot easier for you. With most calendar scheduling programs, you can connect them to your online calendar, whether that's Gmail, Outlook, Office 365, Apple's iCloud Mail, and it sets a window of time when you're available to record, the length of time for your recording window, and then creates a link that you can share with your guests. So your guest clicks on the link and then looks at the different times that your calendar is available, and voila! They can schedule a time that works best in their calendar, and you don't have to go back and forth with your guests trying to find a time that works for both of you. About this time last year, I purchased a year-long subscription to Calendly. Calendly is a really easy-to-use calendar program. It connects to Gmail, Office 365, Outlook, iCloud, etc. And Calendly allows for meeting polls that allow multiple people to vote on a time that works best for the group. So let's say you have two guests or three guests coming on your show. They can all find the time that fits into all of their schedules. And then they offer easy reminders to get guests to decrease the chances that you're going to get ghosted by those guests. Calendly has a free version, but for some reason, I don't remember why, but I purchased the $8 a month version on the annual plan, which means it came out to about $100 per year after taxes. There are also programs like Doodle Poll, which are similar to the Calendly poll option, but they're more geared toward those large groups. There is a free version of Doodle Poll too, but your guests are going to see ads when they go to that. And if you're cool with that, it's not a bad choice. If you are working on a budget, it's something you can do. But if you're trying to brand your guest booking process so that it feels premium, then perhaps I would stay away from Doodle Poll, unless you pay for the premium version. There's also something, I'm not sure how to put my finger on it, about sending guests to a program with the word doodle in it. But if it works for you, it works. So I have this Calendly subscription, but shortly after I purchased the annual subscription, Google Calendar released appointment booking features for those using Google Workplace, which I do. It is very similar to Calendly, though not quite as feature-rich. You can set up all sorts of different appointment slots, and then you can send out various links, and it allows for reminder emails, automatic Google Meet links, etc. It's not quite as easy to use as Calendly, and it's not quite as pretty as Calendly, but it works nonetheless. And if you're already on the right level of Google Workspace, it is no extra charge. You have to be on a Google Workspace Business Standard plan or higher. Otherwise, if you are using Google Workspace Business Standard or higher, The Google Calendar appointment scheduling feature is included with your plan. You simply go into Google Calendar, you click on the Create dropdown on the left, where you would create a new Google Calendar event, click Appointment Schedules, and then follow the prompts on the screen. It's pretty simple to set up. They also now offer Google Calendar appointment scheduling with any Google account, but it's $9 a month. To get there, log into Gmail, go to your Google Calendar, click on the Create dropdown, and then click Appointment Schedule. You'll see a little premium tag next to it, and it will prompt you to subscribe to an individual Google Workspace account. If you're going to go that way, I say spend the extra $3 a month and get your own domain to go with your email, but that's totally up to you and your budget. One kind of pro tip for you with any of these calendar scheduling programs, the platform is going to give you a URL that you can use to share with your guests. If it's with Calendly, it would be like calendly.com/fuzz. But I recommend that you use a link shortener that is relative to your show if you have one. If you're using Captivate, you can then use their attributions link in order to create a short code. Some other platforms allow this as well. For instance, on my 15 Minutes with Fuzz show, I send my guests the link fuzz.cc/book, and that gets them to my booking page. So which one do I prefer? I really like Calendly. The interface is great. It's intuitive. It looks good to my guests. There are also many more customization and scheduling tools than Google. If I was not using Google Workspaces, I would be renewing Calendly. That said, I do have Google Workspaces, and we're already paying at a level where I don't need to pay any extra for the appointment scheduling service. From the guest side, it actually looks great. It's a familiar Google look, and while it's not as fancy on the back end as Calendly, I'm going to save the $100 a year that I would have spent and stick with Google. But again, Google's getting my money for its other workspace tools, primarily Gmail. Thank you for listening to Good Morning Podcasters. You can find every episode, including more robust walkthroughs of these tools, on goodmorningpod.com. New episodes of Good Morning Podcasters at least twice weekly, more when I'm able. Also, we host Podcasting Sucks every Saturday morning. Join Jeff Townsend and I as we walk through some of the things that make podcasting hard to do. Tomorrow morning, we're talking about Twitter's new verification program and the merits behind it, or the reasons not to get it. We'll talk to you next time right here on Good Morning Podcasters. Good morning. Happy Monday, podcasters. Welcome to the all-new Good Morning Podcasters with the new host. My name is Fuzz Martin. I'm a marketing, PR, and advertising guy who just also happens to love all things audio. Instagram is rolling out new tools. They do this all the time. Sometimes they make tools that are helpful to podcasters, and sometimes they make tools that end up being a distraction for podcasters. What is this tool I'm talking about this week? Well, it could be either one of those two things. Last week, Instagram rolled out the ability for you to post audio along with your static image posts. So that is, you can post music or different sounds along with a static image in your newsfeed. If you want to play around with it, go to post like you normally would. Then click on the photo. Before you share it, click Add Music. Then you search for the music or sound that you want. You can also look in their trending and for you sections. By the way, nice use of stealing for you from TikTok. Then select the song you want and the duration you want it to go. And boom, you're in business. You get between 5 and 90 seconds worth of audio to put into your static posts. And once you click done and share, it's on your newsfeed. So down the road, this might be good for podcasters, but it's a little bit too soon to tell. I see it as a less cool version of an audiogram. I think if you're going to post something that was of quality for your audience, it would likely have some sort of video component along with the audio. And I'll tell you this, it would actually be much easier for you to post that. Also, audiograms aren't always super effective anyway, depending on your content and how engaging your audiograms are. The other part that makes this a challenge to be useful for podcasters is that it will be tough to get your podcast audio in there. Right now, the only way you can really upload sounds into Instagram is through Reels, So you would technically have to make the reel first and then use that sound you used in the reel later on in your static post. So this might be useful for a follow-up image or perhaps a carousel full of different clips of different shows. But as of right now, I'm not seeing a ton of use for podcasters. Also, if you have your Instagram page set up as a professional page, you're going to have even fewer sounds that you can use on your audio because of the limiting factor with licensing with music. But if you can figure it out, you might find some engaging uses for it, and I'd love to see some examples. So send them my way. You can tag me on Twitter with some different post ideas or send me a DM. But again, I think that audio and static images sounds like another distraction, but I thought that you'd like to know that it's something that's available to you right now. This week in the all-new Good Morning Inbox newsletter, I give you 32 ways to grow your podcast's subscriber count. And now in a bit of podception, I'm asking you to go sign up for my newsletter. To get there, go to gmp.fm/news. That's gmp.fm/news. And again, this week's article is 32 ways to grow your podcast's subscriber count on your podcast newsletter. I'll be back tomorrow with more marketing, advertising, social media, and public relations ideas for your show right here on Good Morning Podcasters.
Thanks for listening and thanks for telling a friend. But more importantly, thank you for supporting independent content creators. If you're enjoying the podcast or like the work we're doing in the indie podcaster community, I ask you to tell just one fellow content creator that hasn't heard of this podcast or the work we're doing and share it with them. But more importantly, I hope you continue with me on this journey as the indie podcaster. Keep being you. Keep being great. And the question is, do I stay here? Will you be back? Are you gonna come back? Will you be back? Are you coming back?
Jeff Townsend Media. Back.